listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They shall be as white as snow. What glorious words given by the pen of Isaiah and put to verse of music by Fanny Crosby. Listen to the second stanza. Hear the voice that entreats you. O return ye unto God. Hear the voice that entreats you. O return ye unto God. He is of great compassion and of wondrous love. Hear the voice that entreats you. Hear the voice that entreats you. O return ye unto God. O return ye unto God. Listen as the words are sung. Reading from the words of the Lord Jesus as he spoke to Nicodemus. Reading the last part of that conversation, John chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Let's come before the Lord in prayer, giving thanks for these words, and praying also in the name of the Lord Jesus for the Spirit to lead us into the truth of them, and the experience as well. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in His name for Thy loving the world and giving Thy Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Make us to know, Father, by Thy Word and Spirit, that we are perishing sinners without Christ, each one of us. Make us to know it rightly, that many will want to have this blessing, and as Lord Jesus, You also said, that You came that we might be saved. And we pray that we may know the difference between perishing and saving, that we may know in experience both, that we are perishing because of our sin, Thy anger upon it, and that we can be saved through and because of Christ. We pray, Father, for Thy blessing on Thy Word wherever it is heard. All of Thy Word might be blessed. All of Thy Word might be believed by the church, that the church would be made one in the truth, that Thy prayer, Lord Jesus, before Thy death may be answered, that the church might be one, that the world will know that Thou, Father, hast sent Christ. We know the church is not one today. We know also and fear also that it is assaulted, that have lost its savor, that other influences are much stronger in our nation and many other nations where there is war and turmoil and lies and terrible killing and suffering and wounding and sorrow and fear. All of these things, Father, that are not of Thee, but of Satan, the murderer, the liar. And we pray that many who are believing Him may be stopped and have the new birth, that they may hear the gospel, that they may know that this is true of them. As we read, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light and will not come to the light, lest those deeds be reproved. And we pray that we may know that they must be reproved by both Thy Word and by Thy Spirit. And we pray that He might do that, take the Word and reprove it, that He might open our hearts, that we will receive it for Thy glory and for our present and eternal good and for the good of others as well, that those who do know it for themselves may then soon tell others until every creature will hear and fear and turn unto Thee, even all the ends of the earth, that that may come in our time rather than the terrible falling away which seems to be taking place in so many nations. Those that have been blessed in the past now, Father, are turning from Thy Word, and we confess it like Daniel did and like Nehemiah did and Josiah did, that we and our fathers have sinned, and great is Thy wrath upon us. And Father, we fear that Thy wrath is upon our nation for so many different areas of sin and so many ways of sin, and for already so many years, and still sadly increasing and adding to it other sins. We pray that Thou would open our eyes to Thy Word and to the truth, and especially as, Lord Jesus, You said to Nicodemus, that except a man be born again, he cannot see Thy kingdom. We pray that we might see the kingdom of righteousness, and we might also see this terrible kingdom of darkness over against it, and we may see the antithesis, the difference between those two kingdoms. We pray, Father, also for the temporal needs that there are, those who are in hunger. We pray for Thy blessing on them, Thy mercy. We pray that means might be given to help them, that they might have the blessings in nature, they might have the blessings of freedom. We pray for those that are homeless. We pray for those, Father, that are persecuted in many other ways, that there are those suffering both by nature and by the hands of others. And Father, some of it is thy judgment upon them. Some of it is persecution of the righteous. Help us to see and understand thy ways and what is true and what is the lie of Satan. We ask, Father, for all of that to be taught through and because of Christ. We pray also, Father, for those who need the healing in the body from injuries and sickness. We pray for those in sorrow, those in lonesomeness. We pray for the troubled homes. We pray for our schools that truth might be taught rather than the lie, that they might be helpful for those who learn, the young and older ones. They might learn together the way of that honors thee as creator, as lawgiver, and then they might know the need of thee as redeemer, all through Christ. Amen. As we look at this once more, we've looked at it a number of times, and we need the Spirit to see it. That's the beginning. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is description of the kingdom of God. I think we can say the heart of it is God giving Christ the gospel. Also, we think of the kingdom as righteousness and peace. Those are the effects of it, the fruits of it, and other things that are the fruits of the Spirit, as Paul wrote them to the church at Galatia. Also, we see the effect of the kingdom of darkness, that which has affected every one of us, all of us, dying in Adam, dying with Adam. And as the Lord Jesus said so plainly and so strongly in verses 19 and 20, that this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's our natural state, you and I. That's where God found me. I might say how God began to teach me these words that he spoke here to Nicodemus. I was brought up religious, was told I was a child of God, became a member of the church, then heard a sermon over the radio for sinners only, and that moved me somewhat, but not to real repentance, not to real understanding of who God was and what a sinner I was. I thought I heard the gospel and believed it, and gave me confidence that now I was all right. If I wasn't all right before, I certainly was now. But also I thought, I did that. I believed. And one thing that I had to learn through this portion of God's Word is that we're not saved because we believe. We're saved through believing. But we are saved because of Christ, what He did on the cross. And we are saved through Him because of what God does in teaching us and giving us this new birth by the power and the work of the Spirit. I was 16 when I made my confession and joined the church, being told that God promised that to me in my infant baptism, and then having that experience a couple of years later when I was 18, and thinking, now surely I have what some others say, speaking about an experience. But it was, sadly, not more than the shallow ground. Sprang up, but without root. Without root in the truth. Without root in really God's work and God's teaching. As Christ said here, except a man be born again. And I did not really see the kingdom of God. I saw what I did. I thought I saw some of what I needed. And it could have been somewhat the beginning of God's teaching, but it certainly was not the fullness of it and the humbling that I needed. And it was not till 10 years later that a neighbor of mine began to speak against some of the things that the Scripture teaches concerning grace and those that taught that and preached that. And I didn't like it either. And when we talked together about it, he and I thought we ought to start a study and basically to prove that we were the instruments of our own salvation, that we did it by what some call free will. And our will was free to believe or free to refuse. And not realizing what Christ had said here, and in that study, we studied different things from Scripture, and I remember taking a sheet of paper and writing down verses that seemed to indicate what God did in grace, that sinners believe through grace, that He granted repentance, and other ways that show that God is sovereign and we are the sinner. We are the ones that are dead in sin. Scriptures show that, and we'll come to that, Lord willing, in a moment if we have time. But first of all, writing both those sides and seemingly quite even. One on this side, one on that side, and another on this side, another on that side, till I came, after writing probably a dozen verses on each side, that seemed to indicate, one, what man did, the other, what God did. And I can give you an example of one, when Paul says to the Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Some would probably even interpret that as to work for your salvation, but not thinking of the rest of that scripture, as Paul wrote to the Philippians, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But writing those different scriptures down, and sometimes some of them seem to indicate two different things, I came to this scripture, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I thought, which side do I write then? Does God do that, or do we do that? Some people in some churches said, God did that. He could do that before we were born. And it was all of Him. The Spirit did that. Put the new life in us. Regeneration. And others said, you do this, and you will be born again. And both are there still in the church today. As I mentioned in one of the earlier messages, one well-known evangelist gave the message over the radio, God is powerless in regard to the new birth unless you let Him. That's a lie. But in a way, going back to that verse, I didn't know where to put it. One said this, another said that. And I thought, where do I put this? My side? Do I do something? Then I'm born again? I do what God tells me to do, and then I will be born again. And the truth is, if we did what God told us, we would be given what He promises us. But we don't. The Scripture says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Not one will enter in the way of the new birth. And as Christ said here, everyone that doth evil hates the light. The command of God is, love him. Love your neighbor. And that truth is all through Scripture to tell us. And that's the light. The Scripture is the light on our path. And we hate it when it crosses our path. But going back to this Scripture, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Finally, the question came to me. And this was God's grace. God working, beginning the work of the new birth, without my realizing it. And the question came, am I born again? Are you born again? And in that question coming to me, I said to the man that was studying with me, through all of this study, I wonder if I'm born again. Oh, he says, you don't have to worry about that. These things are written that you might know. He says, how do I know? And I didn't. Thankfully, God was beginning to convict me. God was beginning to do with the Spirit as Christ said He would. When He comes, He will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment of sin because they believe not on me. We may believe in a Jesus that we think He's like, but He may not be the Son of God, the Holy One, the One that teaches and the One that says, If I had not come and spoken, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. As he said this just before he died, recorded by John, John 15. And finally, I would begin to pray and say, Lord, if I'm not born again, then give me the new birth. Save me. But it was always with an if. And God didn't answer that if, except to show me sin. And more sin. And more sin. Till he finally showed me what I really was according to the scripture. That I hated the light, as Christ said so here. And that is just as true as God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Many might say, well, I read that, I believed it, and now I'm not perishing. I'm saved. Did you also read, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light? Did you receive that truth from the Lord Jesus concerning you, as every one, you included, I included, all included? And after asking many times, Lord, if I'm not saved, save me. And basically each time, showing me sin. Doing what Paul wrote later to the Galatians, using the law as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Showing me that by the law, I did not love his holy law. I did not love the God that made it, wrote it, ordered it, gave it on Mount Sinai, had it written by Moses. And the Lord Jesus, when asked, what is the first and great commandment? Stating, the first and great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. That sums up particularly the first part of the Ten Commandments, but is true equally of the rest as well, and particularly the last one, thou shalt not covet. If we covet, we want something God hasn't given us, and we want something worse than God. We're not loving God. We're loving the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And that's our natural way, yours and mine. It was my way. It was your way. And it can be not just in the world, not just lovers of pleasures, but it can be in the pulpit, lovers of honor, pride. It can be in the pew. It can be of our church. As one man whom God taught said, that church was my God. When God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and God himself is to be loved, and though we should love the church when it honors God, but not necessarily the church in itself, and in its particularly if it's in its fleshly ways, or like Israel, the temple, and the leaders of the temple, making void the commandments of God by tradition, which is often done. It was not till after God began convicting me that finally I knew there was a God of grace. I knew there was a sovereign God. I knew there was a God that could do as he said so plainly, and which many people dislike and even hate. Paul writing it to the church at Rome, and stating, as he does in Romans chapter 9, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Romans 9, chapter verse 15, verse 16, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Not of him that willeth or runneth. I've heard people say, well, to be saved is just like in the political way. You have to run if you want to get elected. God elects according to his choice. We don't know why, how. We do know he saves the chief of sinners, as Paul said he was. We know that he has a right to choose. And let me say this, if he didn't choose, no one would be saved. There is none that seeketh after God. Psalm 14, Psalm 53, And Paul repeats that to this church at Rome in the third chapter. There is none righteous. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. None in our natural ways. And that's why we need the new birth, to open our eyes to what the kingdom of God really is, and then to see ourselves outside of it, and not only outside of it, but hating it. Hating it like the Jews did of Christ, saying, crucify him, crucify him, away with him. And as was done then, and as was they were spoken to later by different of the apostles, that they chose a murderer. They chose Barabbas instead to be set loose by Pilate. We are a people that hate God. Christ said so. Every one that doeth evil hateth the light. God is light. And as John will write in his epistles, there is no darkness in him at all. Someone, they read such portions as Romans 9, and read there that God is sovereign. He is the potter. We are the clay. Don't like it. But God gives the answer even in there and says, who art thou that repliest against God? Many do. I did. And God showed me it was a terrible sin, worse than any other sin. It's a sin of pride, thinking that we choose God. We know his way. We are ones that are free to do so and have done so. And then thinking that we are saved because of what we did more than what others did. But we are not that. We are saved because of what Christ did, and we only have what Christ did and what God gives in Christ because God gives it. Yes, through faith, as I said in the beginning, but not because of faith. As Paul writes to the Ephesians, first of all telling them they were dead in sin, and then saying, as we can read in Ephesians chapter 2, but God, who was rich in mercy, with his great love wherewith he loved us, loving us together with Christ, quickening us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, Christ in us, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 6, and then the 8th verse, for by grace are you saved. Undeserved blessing. Grace is not earned. Paul says in Romans 11, if it's grace, it is no more works, and if it's works, it's no more grace. And that scripture says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Faith as well as Christ. No man should boast. We can't boast of our faith. And only God is to be honored in it. It is to the glory of God that we have the grace of Christ and can become God's children and have the forgiveness of sins and heaven instead of hell, which we deserve.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise